Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Greetings, all you old-time radio lovers. You found the right place. This is the podcast, the RTC Weekly Download. Here we play some of the best old-time radio that we can get from wherever we can get it from, and we're playing it to you, personally. How about that? Today we're starting off, because this is still our Christmas season, with Norman Corwin and the plot to overthrow Christmas from 1942. We'll follow that in about 30 minutes' time with Bing Crosby and the Kraft Music Hall from 1944.
You are aware of the plot to overthrow Christmas, which has been going on for some time now. In fact, Norman Corwin wrote a play called The Plot to Overthrow Christmas, which has been broadcast on CBS for 3 years. Tonight, you will hear it again. This presentation is by way of a Christmas gift from CBS to its listeners on the principle that the best presents you can give your friends are the things you want for yourself. We wish you good cheer and ask you to follow the unraveling of The Plot to Overthrow Christmas by Norman Corwin. Did you hear about the plot to overthrow Christmas? Well, gather ye now from Maine to the Isthmus of Panama and listen to the story of the utter inglory of some gory goings-on in hell. Now, it happened in Hades, ladies and gentlemen. It happened down there that the fiends held a meeting. The fiends held a meeting for the purpose of defeating Christmas. With the aid of a fade on the radio, we'll take you there with a high and a hey-de-ho to hear firsthand the brewing of the plot down in the deepest Stygian grot.
Grot is a poetical term for grotto. Whenever you hear my voce sotto, or sotto voce, whichever you prefer, it's just I taking pains to make quite sure that nobody makes a poetical allusion which might in any way create confusion. I return you now to the voice you were hearing before I had to do this interfering.
As I was saying, in this Stygian grot, the notables of Limbo hatched a plot. And what went on in the sulfurous hole we'll soon pick up by remote control. Of course, such a pickup is not made quickly. As a matter of fact, it's done rather trickly. You mustn't mind if it sounds erratic. That's merely intraterrestrial static. And don't be surprised if you're deafened by thunder just as we start on our journey under. You'll hear earthquakes and all of the commoner varieties of natural phenomena. And so, below, via radio, to the regions where legions of the damned go.
Interrupt me in the middle of a movement of my favorite concerto. You should look to the improvement of your manners.
Sir, if you please, my apologies. I would not have intruded upon your recital if the matter were not so terribly vital.
The most important matter in the world is piddling when it comes to be compared with Nero's fiddling.
Now, what you say may be very true, but I have been sent here to summon you to a great mass meeting of the tortured souls down in the grot of the flaming coal.
A meeting? What for? What's the big idea? Why can't a fellow have some peace down here?
Peace? poor soul can't be found on the premises. This is a region abounding in nemesis.
Now you're talking like a travel folder. Tell me, varlet, before I smolder, why are we meeting? Who's on the spot?
We're meeting in order to fabricate a plot. A plot against the festival that mortal men comfort in and gladden in again and again. You see, every year...
Never mind the facts. I don't want to hear how mortal man acts. The only information about which I care concerns the mass meeting and who'll be there.
His wickedness, Mephisto, will preside.
Naturally.
And several of the Borgias will be sitting at his side. And down in front, by the sizzling sodium, will be many personalities noted for their odium. Haman, Caligula, Medusa, and Legree.
That's all very nice, but what about me?
Oh, you'll be sitting in row A, center, between Ivan the Terrible, the Tormentor, and Circe.
Mercy! Why, they're both deranged!
Do you wish me to see if your seat can be changed?
Yes, if you will, please. Taste comes first, even though a soul may be eternally cursed.
Righto. See you at the meeting, then.
Yes. And now back to my fiddling again.
This is I, the sotto voce person. It should have been explained that Nero's rehearsing for nothing in particular. He's just that way. While hell's fires burn, he likes to play. Makes him feel a little more at home. It's just an avocation he picked up in Rome.
I've called you here from over 60 seas of boiling pitch and blazing phosphorus to stop what constitutes a loss for us. We've lost prestige, and I greatly deplore that we stand in danger of losing more in the way of confidence and spirit. We are far from our goal. We're nowhere near it. And this is the reason. Though we've done well in carrying forward the work of hell, we've left a very big job unfinished. After all these years, there is undiminished goodwill on earth every late December because of Christmas. Now, please remember that as long as this continues to be, the race of man will not belong to me. I will listen now to any questions you may want to ask, and then suggestions.
Mr. Chairman.
Brother Haman has the floor.
You say we have done well in our effort to sell evil. I say we have done better. We have carried out the letter of your law. We've done what I think is a pretty good job. And I say, as a veteran demon...
Sit down there, Haman. Enough of this folly.
Sit down yourself. You're off your trolley.
Sit down, for I am Ivan the Terrible.
You're telling us why you are unbearable.
Demons, this is no way to act. Please proceed with a little more tact. I want more decorum in this forum. All personal remarks must cease. Now, Brother Ivan, will you speak your piece?
I merely want to say in a casual way that Haman is a radical. He always gets fanatical. Why anybody think to hear him snort that the work of the Nazis should just stop short. Anybody think to hear him talking that Hitler and Hito should stop stalking the ways of the world?
Mr. Chairman, Brother Ivan is a demagogue with a brain like a fly and the manners of a hog. Why, he says we...
Now that's enough. We will hear from others. Surely there must be among you brothers enough venom and malevolence to crush a mortal man's benevolence. It's come to this. Are we going to let a little holiday like Christmas get the better of us all down here below?
No.
Very well then, sirs. Very well. Let's go. Let's lay down our plans now to overthrow this Christmas business and all that guff.
of holly and mistletoe and stuff. Brother Caligula may take the floor.
Mr. Chairman, I abhor, as a former emperor, anything which curbs our rule. I suggest we start right in manufacturing more sin. Let us give some presents, too. Candy sticks and things to chew. Fruits and nuts and little cakes. Poisonous as rattlesnakes.
Bravo!
Let our subtlest worker be bichloride of mercury. Let us wrap in tinsel bright little gifts of dynamite.
Oh!
Work things so that men will fear when 12:25 draws near.
Bravo!
Soon at this rate, if you please, men will hang from Christmas trees.
My dear Caligula, permit the chair to say that we think you've got something there. And now, with this fine start, let's hear some more. Yes, Brother Nero, do you want the floor?
With all due respect to Caligula's views, I think there's a better method we can use. I've just heard lately men are giving the razz to classical music by making it jazz. They're swinging it Bach and what is keener? They're doing the shag to Palestrina.
Yeah, yeah.
As a connoisseur of music, of course I love the works of Rimsky-Korsakov. But today I note with a bitter shrug, they've made Scheherazade a jitterbug.
Much as we admire your clever rhyme, will you get to the point? We're wasting time.
I was just about to say, when interrupted, that Christmas can easily be corrupted. If you take and swing all the Christmas carols, why, think of the evil. Just barrels and barrels of sacrilege every time you play a pious song in a profane way. Why, once you entice them to swing Noel, then victory belongs to us fiends. Well?
Mr. Legree.
I'd like to say that it seems to me that you all's barking up a coonless tree. I think Mr. Nero's made a wrong guess. The way to go about it is to get in Congress and bribe a bunch of senators who know their oaths and just make a purchase of a block of votes. And then they can legislate a situation where they rules old Christmas right out of the nation. They can all get together and pass a law where there ain't gonna be no Christmas anymore.
I think Legree's suggestion is a beaut.
That's very cute.
And quite astute.
To me, it seems a bit impractical, because you have to be so tactical.
Why?
For instance, now, a senator who'd sell his vote to our lobbyists might very well sell right out again and become a tool of agencies representing the Yule.
By the eternal night, that's right.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Miss Borgia.
I say that we should all give pause to think about this Santa Claus. He is the man behind the scenes, the symbol of what Christmas means. If we could rub him out, my friend, our troubles would be at an end. Just think how it would tickle us to liquidate St. Nicholas. A girl like me could fascinate the guy and then assassinate.
Do you think that you could do it, pretty one? Are you sure you wouldn't be by pity one?
Sometimes you are an awful tease, my master Mephistopheles. Ain't I murdered several dozens, poisoned uncles, aunts, and cousins? Don't my work right here in Hades make me first among the ladies? Men of virtue all have cussed me. I am sure that you can trust me.
Of that we haven't a particle of a doubt, Miss Borgia. And I'm sure we all have nothing but kind feelings toward you. But many times a woman's spy, alas, adores her victims. Dames make poor ambassadors.
Do you imply that such defects are found inherent in my sex?
I do.
Well, listen here, old Ironsides. You're heading for some cyanides. You've crossed a Borgia, and you know the consequences that follow.
Come, come, disciples. This is very bad.
There's nothing to be gained by getting mad. Suppose we put the matter to a vote. First, the plan of Brother Nero's, viz., to swing the hymns and pious music. All those for will please respond by raising up a paw.
For?
And those against?
Against!
Very well. Now, the project of Legree's. Who is there here who totally agrees?
I do.
Legree votes for himself. And those opposed?
Opposed!
And now, all those who favor Borgia's cause, it being to eliminate Santa Claus.
Aye!
And those opposed? Seems the women have a way with them. At least they've carried the day with them. The motion's carried. And now we'll decide which one of us will take Nick for a ride. We'll all draw lots and thus settle the moot point of who will be sent to execute. Well,
this is your old friend, Sotto Voce, visiting down where it's eternal noche. Noche is Spanish for night, you know. Merely a reference, just to show that English isn't all I have to go by. Oh, well, I guess I've missed my calling. I should have been a lobbyist. You see, I'm stalling to give them time to finish the voting. Let's see. The weather. Now I'm quoting the Daily Hellion. Continued heat both overhead and under feet. Fresh and moderate gases blowing up to gale force and then going north by westerly. Light showers of brimstone toward the evening hours. That's what it says here. I'm not fibbing. How am I doing with my ad-libbing? This is a thing a gabbard have fun with. Say, the drawing should soon be done with. We expect the results at any moment now. As soon as...
The lots have been drawn, and I'm glad to say the honor has fallen Nero's way. Now, Nero, you are charged with a great task. It's the evilest deed that we could ask a fiend to do. We'll be proud of you.
Now, just one moment. How do I get there? What do I wear? Is it dry or wet there? Is it fact or fancy or just word of mouth that he lives at the pole? Is it north or south? If he dwells in the regions to which I've referred, must I pass through a camp of Admiral Byrd? What shall I use when it comes to the showdown? A gun or a dagger? Well, give me the lowdown.
Now, Nero, you needn't sound so tragic. You'll get to Earth by the blackest magic. To create an express elevator is simple for an expert spell creator. With a lot of pyrotechnic dazzle, we'll let you off on a hill in Basel, Switzerland. From there, you will make your way to the Arctic Circle, then break your way through ice with a blowtorch. After a while, you are bound to reach Santa's domicile. And once you get there, oh, my dear Nero, all of our work will have gone for zero. If you don't succeed in your assignment, a disadvantage of our confinement. In limbo is the fact that we only get one chance in all the eternal roulette of circumstance.
I know. If at first we don't succeed, we can try again. But there is no need, because nothing will come of it. Meaning no offense, do you mind if I take my departure hence?
That, my friends, was a big brass gong. It's used in this story right along to indicate that we're about to travel to points where the plot will further unravel. And now, if Ambassador Nero elects, we'll have another spot of sound effects.
Tell me, stranger.
Thank you. Is this Basel, Switzerland, or is it already Donner and Blitzerland?
Donner und Blitzenland, 5,000 miles away.
Thank you, mister. Good day. Tell me, stranger, I've been walking inland for weeks. Where am I now?
In Finland.
Tell me, stranger, because I've lost stock, where am I now?
In Vladivostok.
This is stranger after all these centuries of blistering heat. Now I have to suffer from freezing feet. I'm wincing with pain from this pesky toe.
No speak English. Eskimo.
I declare by my frenetic soul, I must be over the magnetic pole. My watch has stopped. Can that be right? I wonder... Ah, a light! A light! In a moment now, you'll hear me knock on Santa's door, and he'll unlock it, nevermore to lock again.
Coming!
So is doom.
How do you do, sir?
Very well indeed. And you, sir?
Splendidly. Won't you come right in? Take your coat off. I see your chin is frozen. Also, your hands and knees. Sit down while I get you some antifreeze.
Don't bother, sir. I will not be long. I'm about to perpetrate a fearful wrong. In short, I am going to do away with...
Take it easy. Do not play with that gun. I know all about you.
Really?
Haven't I had my agent scout you for weeks? You've come all this way to abolish Christmas. Now, let me say...
Listen, Santa. I'm no callow stripling. I've read Ernest Hemingway and Kipling and also The Shooting of Dan McGrew. And plenty of detective stories, too. And just to show you what a broad guy I am, I've also read The Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. Do you think that a fellow with his reading so graded could have learned so little as to be dissuaded from a main objective? Why, don't make me giggle.
I'd feel a lot better if you wouldn't wiggle that gun so. Much as I'm impressed with your education, I honestly believe that a figure of your station should have given more thought to the ways of man and less devotion to the cult of Pan.
By others, no doubt your wisdom may be prized, but I didn't come here to be criticized. In fact, I came to dispatch a duty. So don't hand me any of this tutti-frutti. If you've any last words you want to say, then spill them. I haven't got all day.
Now, what's the rush? Unless I've counted wrong, the polar day has always been 6 months long.
Well, after I've disposed of you, I've got to hurry. Right back to hell, they'll begin to worry.
Not about you, but about your career in homicide. Do you think that the mere loss of you would make them hysterical? Their only interest is numerical.
Think so?
Mephisto wants to rule just as much of humanity as possible for reasons of personal vanity.
By the sticks, you're right! To think that he'd dare! Are there any ladies here? Will you permit me to swear?
My answer to that is an emphatic no. There are several lady dolls in the toy room below.
Oh, Claudius! Oh, Cassius! Oh, Naphthalene, what a fool I've been. What a fool I've been. Yeah, but wait. I think I see what you're after. You're as clever as a big-time Roman grafter. You remind me now of my royalty, just to get me in a mood for disloyalty. Do you think I could be that meanly deceptive to Satan? Why, Santa, I'm keenly perceptive. I can see right through all your clever ruses. Nero can be plenty foxy when he chooses. I'll have you know that I'm partly a dreamer, partly a wit, and partly a schemer. I'm part philosophical and also part mystic.
I suppose you fancy that you're highly artistic.
Fancy? Why, I have such a sense of beauty.
Don't hand me a helping of tutti-frutti. Any creature who really had beauty in his soul would appreciate Christmas. He would know that the whole idea of the holiday was one of such power that all the fiends below might gnash their fangs and glower, yet never in a million years could do it harm. Because it has a glory, a greatness, a charm you'd know nothing about.
That's so?
The spirit that it venerates, the good cheer that it generates, are things far, far beyond you. For all your wealth, no man on earth could sell ye these.
Am I so cursed as that? Will you tell me, please? What beauties there may be that I've never seen.
Have you ever seen a Christmas tree, tall and green, smelling of woodlands, covered with a sheen of silveriness, its branches bending low, with the fruits of human kindness instead of snow?
No.
Have you ever closely witnessed what takes place any Christmas morning on a young child's face? Or perceived any beauties purer than the joys distilled in the hearts of little girls and boys? Have you ever watched a fire in a fireplace on a Christmas Eve? Or listened to a grace at a table heavy with fruits and cakes and all the wonders that a kitchen makes? Fowls and pastries, wines and meats, and nuts and raisins and candied sweets? Have you ever seen mistletoe hanging from a ceiling? In frosty air, heard a far bell pealing? Have you ever come back from a sleigh ride tingling and your feet keeping time with the sleigh bells jingling? Have you ever seen the beauty of a sprig of holly? Or felt for a moment how it feels to be jolly?
Golly!
Have you ever known how exceedingly pleasant it is to unwrap a Christmas present? Did you ever know how much cheer it lends to be wished a Merry Christmas by all your friends? Did you ever experience the fun of giving? Do you know at all the joys of living?
I guess I don't. For all of me, I never knew such things could be. Just think how long in ignorance I've slept.
It must have been the company you kept.
I was a wicked tyrant once, you know.
Ah, yes, but that was centuries ago. You really had no way of knowing.
Perhaps. I guess that I'll be going. I really should be getting on my way.
But do you have to? Don't you want to stay?
You see, I'm just a bit,
Embarrassed?
Why, yes, sir.
Now, don't look so harassed. I know just why you came and who it was that sent you. But that's all done with. I take it you repent you of all your past mistakes?
With many pains and aches of conscience.
We interrupt this broadcast for a special bulletin. The Algiers Radio, recorded by the CBS shortwave listening station, has just reported that Admiral Jean Darlan has been assassinated. Said the Algiers announcer, complete order reigns in Algiers. Further details at 8:55 tonight. We return you now to the program, The Plot to Overthrow Christmas.
Here. And tell me, will you have some wine or beer? I never touch the stuff myself, but I managed to keep on hand a little rye for purposes medicinal. I mean, your chin should be unfrozen. What a state it's in.
A while ago, you asked me if I understood good cheer. I do so now, St. Nicholas. I see it standing here. I want to ask you something, sir. Now, please don't give a yelp. Is there any sort of work to do where I can be of help?
Indeed there is. Indeed there is. And I'm glad you asked me. I have so many toys to make. This year, the job's got past me. But first, you sit and eat this bowl. I've got a little trifle I'd like for you to see. So will you sit right here and stifle your curiosity? I'll get it for you right away. It's down the hall, please.
Who'd ever think it? Will wonders never cease? At last, after all these centuries, I'm so happy I could buzz. It shows you what a lot a little Christmas spirit does. As emperor, I envied oft the cheerfulness of peasant, and now I...
Well, here it is, Nero, my boy. By way of Christmas presents, I offer you this little gift.
But Santa, for what reason?
A very good one, sir. To wit, compliments of the season. Well, go ahead and open it. Why stand there so, reflecting?
I'm just collecting thoughts, St. Nick, my thoughts. I'm just
collecting. Just think how far a tiny bit of fellowship will carry us. Oh, well. I say, what's this? What's this? It is the Stradivarius. Oh, thank you. Thanks a million times. I don't know what to say to you. I'll tell you what I'll do, St. Nick. I'll start right in and play for you. I'll play, I'll play, I'll play, I'll play. I'll play all night and day for you.
Fine, here's some music. I'm sure you'll play it well. It's a little piece entitled Noel, Noel.
This is I. Remember me, your sotto voce friend? I've just come back to tell you that the story's at an end.
Once again, the plot to overthrow Christmas has been foiled. 1 year ago today, none of us knew whether on December 24th, 1942, we could do such a broadcast as the Norman Corwin holiday play you've just heard. However, we could and we did. And we rather think that the plot to overthrow Christmas will be thwarted again in 1943.
This is London, and this is the fourth Christmas Eve. The beef eaters may have become spam eaters, but no one has seen Scrooge about tonight. Our men have been giving parties for British children. They have made toys of odd bits of wood and metal. Big tough sergeants have played Santa Claus. Thousands of British children, especially the orphans and the poor, have had a memorable time thanks to the Americans. Our men are the best fed, best paid, and best uniformed soldiers in this war. And this Christmas they have certainly maintained the American tradition of good-natured generosity. Some of them are a little homesick, but you couldn't tell it by looking at them. I've asked many of them what they'd like to say if they were talking to America tonight. And most of them have said, well, you see, it's a little tough to know what to say. But you know how it is. I've an idea. Most of them would tell you, don't worry too much. We're all right. And we're amongst friends. And some of them on this dark night might repeat the words written a long time ago. Though there be darkness, it shall be as the morning. And thou shalt be secure. Because there is hope.
When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
It's Bing Crosby and the Kraft Music Hall with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Eugenie Baird, the Charioteers, Charles Henderson and the Kraft Choir, and the weird and whimsical baritone to end all baritones, Jerry Colonna. What's news, Bing?
Well, Kensington, when Cole Porter, who's famous for devising sophisticated ditties, finds himself at home on the range, that's news. Doing his brand new cowboy ballad, Don't Fence Me In.
Give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in.
Just turn me loose.
Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky.
Riding high
on my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise.
In the sky,
I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. 'Cause I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't
Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees.
Send me off forever, but I ask you, please,
don't fence me in, just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences. Gaze up at the moon until I lose my senses. Cause I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in.
Don't fence me in, no, no.
Papa, don't you fence me in.
So leaving the home on the range, leave us list to a lad with a word for those who rule the range in the home.
Oh, it's a pretty sure prediction that in the next 10 days you'll be having folks drop in for snacks, on invitation or on the spur of the moment. In either case, refreshments will be ready in a jiffy if you have on hand some of the 7 delicious Kraft cheese spreads. Just put them out in their own neat glasses with some crackers or potato chips. Everybody spreads his own snacks, picks the Kraft kinds that strike his fancy most. That's easy for the hostess, and easy on the point budget, too. Consider a Kraft assortment of pimento or olive pimento spreads, zestful Roca and Kraft relish spread. Each one of these tempting, creamy-tasting spreads takes just 2 ration points. You better stock up tomorrow so you'll be all set for snack parties. Look for the quality cheese spreads marked Kraft.
Here's the charioteers, friends, in a very practical vein tonight. Very clever arrangement of Straighten Up and Fly Right. Here.
A buzzard took a monkey for a ride in the air. Now, the monkey thought that everything was quite on the square.
Who's the square?
You. The buzzard tried to throw the monkey off his back.
Bop.
But the monkey grabbed his neck and said,
"Now look here, Jack.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use of jiving. What's the use of jiving? Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top.
Well,
the buzzard told the monkey, you're choking me. Really sure holding, I'll set you free. The monkey looked the buzzard right dead in the eye.
Your story's so touchy.
It sounds like a lie.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right.
Look out, Jack. You're snapping your cap.
Ain't no use of diving. What's the use of diving? Straighten up and fly right.
Your top. Well, the buzzard told the monkey you're choking me. Really sure hold and I'll set you free. The monkey looked the buzzard right dead in the eye.
And said, your story's so touching.
It's still alive.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top.
Very good, Ben, very good. You know, Jerome Kern has written some of our finest melodies, songs that are musically eminent and international in their appeal. His latest job for the Deanna Durbin picture marks his silver anniversary, the 25th score that he's written. Yip Harburg wrote the words for this particular song from the score, and if I can handle it right, I'm sure you'll agree that it's one of Mr. Kern's best songs.
More and more, this heart of mine confesses more and more, I'm caught in your caresses. Warmed by the breath of your sigh, cooled by the blue of your eyes. More and more, I find it more than thrilling to share this dream that needed fulfilling. More and more, I'm less and less unwilling to give up wanting more and more of you.
Season, name of Eugenie Baird, has just been here a short time, so California's kind of new to her, too. You like it out here, Eugenie?
Well, Bing, I don't think I've ever lived any place where there were so many happy men.
Many happy men? What makes you think that?
Well, everywhere I go, they're always whistling.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're all right till they begin barking, then you better break into a run. Didn't the boys that you knew back east break out a whistle when they flushed a sharp chick?
Hmm? Why, no, Bing. My boyfriend in New York never wasted time whistling.
That's all right. Seems a very practical fellow. What say you carry on with the chanson here? Eugenie's going to give us a tune popular in La Belle France. It's known to us over here as My Heart Sings.
Sudden my heart sings when I remember little things, the way you dance and hold me tight, the way you kiss and say goodnight, the crazy things say and do, the fun it is to be with you, the magic thrill that's in your touch. Oh, darling, I love you so much.
the breathless world of your embrace. Your little laugh and half surprise. The starlight gleaming in your eyes. Sudden, my heart sings. All of a sudden, my heart sings.
That's delightful, Eugenie. Lovely. Really smooth. Comes now a stellar personality in the vocal world. That brilliantly balmy barrel-chested baritone with the barrel tones, that singing Joe Stalin, gentle Jerry Colonna.
Greetings, Bing. Shall we sing high in a high?
Wait a minute, Jerry. Before breaking into the louder stuff, there's a few things that I must know. Obviously, you've studied voice, but under whom? Who did you study under? Gatti Kazaza or Gaetano Marola, perhaps?
Oh, under the runway in Minsky's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you jest, Jerry. Not much, but you jest a little. Surely that golden voice, that fabulous breath control, that's not just pure happen chance, is it?
Oh, of course not. My mustache is really responsible.
Mustache? That brush there, huh? In what way is that parsley patch responsible? What does it do, strain out the clinkers? What?
No, it keeps my nose warm.
Keeps your nose? Well, why do you want to keep your nose warm?
Want to be different from the other Cocker Spaniels.
I... Well, I've heard you sing, Professor, on Senior Hope's Tuesday Night Error.
Error?
Optional spelling in there. Do you just sing at random, or does Robert conduct you through your rousing rondelets?
Hope stands in the wings and gives me a signal.
Conducts from the wings, huh? What does he do, wave a stage brace or something?
No, taps me on the shoulder with his nose.
Tell me, whoop, not yet. I just... We're going to break out into something. Look, Hedgehead, do you intend to make this thing your career, this vocal thing? Are you going to build on it?
Oh, no, I sing just to kill time.
You got quite a weapon, too. I'll just pass the word to John Scott Trotter if you want, and you can rip out a roulade right here. What key do you sing in, Jeff?
Anything at all but do. First I sing high, then I sing low, high, low, high, low,
high.
High,
low, high, low, high, low. How do you achieve a range like that?
Got my Adam's apple on a yo-yo.
Obviously, I can't win here. I've got to finish out of the money. Will you sing something?
And it'll be something.
By all means, I'm...
Caroline, I miss you in the morning when old Bob White gives his call. Caroline, I miss you at the sunset when the leaving and the shadows are fall. Caroline, I miss you when the moon beams upon the river shine. Oh, can't you hear me calling? Are you Caroline? Can't you hear me calling, Caroline? It's my heart calling a dime. Ah, Caroline, sweet girl of mine. Your eyes define those lips like wine. Things are so fine, we're off to dine, partake of wine, my Caroline. Oh, press to mine, your lips divine, my Caroline. Your eyes, they shine with love divine. If any swine dare try to dine you, Caroline, I'll make the swine drink iodine. For you are mine, and I am thine. You're just my kind. Do not decline, my love divine, for tears of brine will streak my spine. And when you sign on the dotted line, things will be fine, and I'll be fine. And your hopes will be fine. Fine. But you know I can't find a rhyme. Well, can't you hear my lips a-praying? Can't you hear my soul? you calling? What's the matter, you deaf or something? Caroline! You hear me now? Caroline, 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 won't you be mine? Hurry, answer me, Caroline. The song is almost over. Too late. It's over.
Professor, that was parfait. Every note a nugget. Now, Professor Carpenter, make yourself at home with a few notes for the homemakers, huh? Right in through here.
It is an Englishman, the Earl of Sandwich, who invented the portable meal of two slices of bread put together with a rich, flavorful filling. But we Americans popularized the handy sandwich. And today, more Americans are carrying sandwiches than ever before in history. The fillings for good sandwiches are quite a problem these days, so I want to tell you how to make the ration points you spend for fillings do double duty. Use Kraft cheese spreads. With these cheese treats, you spread in rich, moist goodness and tantalizing flavor at one and the same time. Take, for example, the four Kraft creamy kinds. Kraft pimento and olive pimento spreads, the zestful Roca, and Kraft relish spread with the chopped pickles all through it. These rich-tasting, flavorful spreads take just two ration points a glass, and any one is all the filling you need for a swell sandwich. Look for them at the food store tomorrow. You better stock up both for lunchbox sandwiches and the wonderful holiday snacks you make in a hurry with Kraft cheese spreads.
Not so very long ago, Mr. Irving Berlin had the pleasant inspiration to weave a story in song around our national holidays. You may recall it as Holiday Inn. It was the tale of a restive lad who wanted to rest. Wanted to give up the gay, giddy whirl of cafeteria society. He thought he'd exchange his exhausting career as a crooner for fun on a farm. Thought farm life was for the lazy, foolish boy. Yes, the simple life's for me, he told his inner man. And the two of them, they made a lovely couple, were so pleased that they just burst right into melody. Let's start the new year right. 12 o'clock tonight, when they dim the light, let's begin. Kissing the old year out, kissing the year in. Let's watch the old year die with a fond goodbye, and our hopes as high as a kite. How can our love go wrong if we start the new year? Bring out the old year. Let's start the new year right. But that boy found an out. He opened an inn, planned to reconvert his farmhouse, keep it open only on our 15 big national holidays, thus giving him 350 non-working days. A genius, that boy, really. Giving Irving Berlin a chance to create songs commemorating such a day as Abraham Lincoln's birthday, for example.
Was born a February morn, a tiny baby boy was born.
He became our 16th president. Now he's in the Hall of Fame, a most respected gem.
And that is why we celebrate this blessed February day.
Abraham. Wondering whether or not there was romance in this deal, there sure was. And très compliqué, too. Something about our boy's former nightclub partners. A gentleman dancer and a gentle doll trying to cut in on the loot. And there was another babe in the picture, too, making this thing quite a magilla. Long about Valentine's Day, our lad decided to do a bit of lyrical leveling. Be careful, it's my heart.
It's not my watch you're holding, it's my heart. It's not the note I sent you that you quickly burned. It's not the book I lent you that you never returned. Remember, it's my heart, the heart with which so willingly I part. It's yours to take, to keep or break, but please, before you start, be careful. It's my heart.
But then came spring, and L'Amour was simpler. And so was our boy. Came robins and crocuses and sulfur and molasses, came even Easter. And that light-hearted lad joined right into the love parade.
In your Easter bonnet, with all those frills upon it, you'll be the grandest lady in the Easter parade.
You'll be all in clover, and when they look me over, you'll be the proudest fellow in the Easter parade.
On the avenue, Fifth Avenue,
the photographers will snap up, and you'll find that you're in the wrong to grab yours.
Oh, I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl to the Easter parade.
Well, our hero was a business success, even though his harmony was a little off, and even though his love life got loused up. But success took our happy little band to Hollywood, where our faithful boy wound up with the chick of his choice. And there amidst the California sunshine and showers, I mean flowers, and the outstretched palms of the agents, they settled among the orange blossoms. And they dreamt about the happy days back in their Connecticut home, up above Hartford, just a little below zero. To this very day, they appreciate the red Pacific sunsets and the blue Burbank skies. But most of all, they miss a white Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the one the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
Just have a word here before we close the old hall. You know, the best Christmas presents money can buy are still those ever-loving war bonds. When you give a war bond, you're giving yourself a stake in the future of free men everywhere. When you buy a war bond, you're giving the men on every fighting front the gift that they want most. The assurance that the folks back home know the toughest battles are still to be won. Your war bond is actually just a loan, and the sacrifices our boys make are offered as a gift because they're fighting for the day when Christmas can once again dawn in a world of peace. Let's let them know we're behind them with everything we got. Good night.
Kraft Music Hall next Thursday when our usual Christmas show will include the Kraft Choral Society, with Bing singing Adeste Fidelis and Silent Night, and with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Eugenie Baird and the Charioteers. Jerry Colonna appeared on tonight's show through the courtesy of Pepsodent.
Your turn is next in the merry round of Christmastime parties. Treat your guests to a variety of surprises made with Pabstet cheese food. You can serve delicious golden Pabstet in 100 or more appetizing ways. Pabstet spreads and toasts to perfection for sandwiches and snacks. Adds rich cheddar cheese flavor to omelets, Welsh rabbits, and souffles. Don't forget to buy Pabstet. Add delicious, nourishing Pabstet cheese food to your shopping list tomorrow.
Broadcasting Company.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.